Tech It For Me is an independent and solo-produced podcast.
Training the latest AI models costs millions, consumes enough electricity to power entire neighborhoods, and guzzles more water than you'd think. But here's the twist. Even if you never touch AI, you're still paying for it. Welcome to the Tech It For Me podcast. I'm Mike Madol. We love talking about what AI can do, answering questions, creating art, helping businesses. But we rarely stop to ask what it costs to make those systems work. And no, I'm not just talking about a couple of programmers with laptops. We're talking about sky-high cloud bills, a GPU shortage that made NVIDIA the arms dealer of the AI boom, and an environmental footprint that's hard to ignore. This isn't just an innovation race, it's a compute arms race. And today, we're asking, who's paying for it? And at what price? This is the Tech It From Me podcast. Let's go.
This is the Tech It From Me podcast.
Let's start with the money side of this story, because if there's one thing AI is burning through faster than data, it's cash. Training a big model like GPT-5 is nothing like coding a weekend project or training a little chatbot at home. We're talking about industrial scale computing. Thousands of GPUs running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for weeks or even months at a time. And these aren't your average gaming graphics cards. The workhorses of AI right now are NVIDIA's H100s and soon the B200s. And they're not just powerful, they're scarce. One H100 can go for $30,000 if you can even find one. And even the big tech players have to wait in line to get them. Now imagine trying to do this in the cloud. Renting a single H100 instance on AWS can cost hundreds of dollars a day. Multiply that by, say, 10,000 GPUs for a 30-day training run, and you're looking at a bill in the tens of millions of dollars. And that's before you've done any fine-tuning, testing, or deployment. If you want a mental picture, think of it like running your car engine full throttle, 24/7, for an entire month, and then doing that with a fleet of thousands of cars. The fuel costs are just the start. You also need the garage, the mechanics, and someone to pay for the breakdowns. And here's where the cloud providers come in. AWS, Azure, Google Cloud, they're like the landlords in the hottest real estate market you can imagine. They know everyone needs what they have, and they price it accordingly. Synergy Research Group reports AI demand is one of the biggest drivers of record cloud revenues right now. And just like rising rent in your neighborhood, these increases don't stay isolated. They get passed down, eventually, to end users. For small AI startups, this is absolutely brutal. If you've got a Series A investment, great, you might get one, maybe two shots at training something substantial before the money's gone. That's why most smaller teams aren't training models from scratch anymore. Instead, they're fine-tuning existing models from OpenAI, Anthropic, or open-source projects like Llama and Mistral. It's faster, cheaper, and more realistic. But it also means the playing field is tilted towards companies with the deepest pockets. And this leads to an uncomfortable truth. In AI right now, innovation is often less about who has the best idea and more about who can afford the compute. Now, money's one thing, but the environmental cost of AI is just as big, and in some ways, it's even more worrying. Training GPT-3, which is already a couple of generations old, took about 1,300 megawatt hours of electricity. That's enough to power 120 homes for a full year. GPT-5? We don't have the official numbers, but with more parameters and more compute, it's safe to assume it's a lot higher. Now, this isn't just theory for me. I've spent over 15 years working in the engineered environmental sector, helping industries understand and reduce their environmental impact. And I can tell you, the scale of resource use we're seeing in AI is comparable to heavy industrial operations. It's not a little extra power here and there. It's the kind of demand you plan entire infrastructure projects around. And electricity is only part of the story. Cooling these massive data centers requires enormous amounts of water. According to the New York Times, some AI-driven facilities use millions of liters a year to keep GPUs from overheating. Think about that. Water that could be used for agriculture, drinking, or industry is instead being cycled through cooling systems to keep servers at safe temperatures. In areas already struggling with water scarcity, this can create real tension. Farmers notice it, local governments notice it, and when the public becomes aware that a large share of that water is going to train a chatbot, the backlash can be significant. And there's the carbon footprint. Unless a data center is running on 100% renewable energy, and very few are, every training run generates CO2 emissions. Multiply that by dozens or hundreds of training runs happening worldwide, and AI starts to look less like a clean technology and more like another heavy industry with a large environmental tab. And here's the part people often miss. The environmental cost doesn't stop once the model is trained. Every single query you send to an AI, every question, every prompt requires compute power. The training phase is like building the factory. But inference, answering all those prompts, is like running the factory every single day. The bills, both financial and environmental, just keep coming. So if you've never trained an AI model, why should you care about all these costs? Here's the reality. Whether you realize it or not, you're already paying for them. The first way is subscription creep. Tools that were free 6 months ago now have pro tiers. The pro tiers you were paying for last year, they now have usage caps and the price went up. This isn't just greed. Those infrastructure and energy bills we mentioned earlier in the podcast, they have to be covered somehow. I've seen this happen in other industries too. Back in my environmental sector days, large manufacturing plants facing new regulatory costs didn't just eat the expense. They built it into the cost of the product. If your supplier's cost goes up, so does yours. It's the same in technology. The second is vendor lock-in. Once a company builds its AI tools on a specific cloud platform, AWS, Azure, Google Cloud, switching isn't just inconvenient, it's financially painful. It's like moving your entire factory to a new city just because rent went up. You can't just unplug everything and leave. This gives cloud providers enormous pricing power. They can raise rates knowing their customers can't easily walk away. The third ripple is market risk. Right now, AI is the darling of investors. Everyone wants in on the gold rush. But remember the dot-com bubble? In the late 90s, valuations were sky high. Companies were spending like crazy on infrastructure, and the revenue models hadn't caught up. When the crash came, it wasn't just investors who got hurt. Whole industries consolidated, jobs vanished, and smaller innovators, they were wiped out. You could see something similar in AI if the costs of building and running these systems outpace the actual revenue they bring in. That means if you rely heavily on one AI platform for your business, you could wake up one day to find that service shut down, acquired, or suddenly triple the price. And the final ripple effect? Indirect consumer costs. Even if you don't pay for AI directly, you might see the costs in other places. Higher prices for products that use AI in the background. Taxes funding public infrastructure to support data centers. Or even utility bills impacted by energy demand. It's a chain reaction. The money and resource demands at the top flow all the way down to the everyday user, whether you're aware of it or not. After all this talk about sky-high costs and environmental impact, you might be wondering, is there any way to make AI cheaper, greener, and more sustainable? The good news is yes, but it's going to take changes in both technology and mindset. The first lever is model design. Right now, a lot of the most powerful AI models are generalists. They try to do everything for everyone. But there's a growing push towards smaller, specialized models that focus on doing one job really well. Think of it like replacing a massive cargo ship with a fleet of smaller boats. You still get things where they need to go, but you burn a lot less fuel in the process. The second lever is efficiency through architecture. One of the most promising approaches is called mixture of experts. Instead of firing up the entire model every time you send it a prompt, it activates only the relevant experts inside the system. This means less compute power, faster responses, and lower operating costs. Thirdly, there's hardware and location strategy. In short form, where you place your infrastructure matters. Data centers in cooler climates require less energy for cooling. Data centers located near renewable energy sources can operate with a fraction of the carbon footprint. It's the same principle industries have used for decades. Put the heavy lifting where the resources are cheapest and cleanest. Another big opportunity is in open source AI. Models like Llama, Mistral, and Falcon may not always match the proprietary systems from companies like OpenAI or Anthropic, but they can be fine-tuned and deployed for a fraction of the cost. That opens the door for smaller companies, research groups, and even governments to innovate without needing a billion-dollar budget. And finally, there's policy and market pressure. In the same way renewable energy adoption accelerated once there were incentives and penalties in place, we could see similar shifts in AI. Governments could require carbon reporting for large-scale training runs, or incentivize the use of renewable-powered data centers. Will all of this happen overnight? No. But the signs are there. We're already seeing cloud providers offer green compute options. We're seeing AI researchers experiment with more efficient training techniques, and we're seeing open source communities push for democratization. The question is, will these sustainable approaches catch up before the costs, both financial and environmental, simply become too heavy to bear? The AI race isn't just about who can build the smartest system. It's about deciding how much we're willing to spend, both financially and environmentally, to get there. From billion-dollar cloud bills to massive GPU farms, from water-hungry cooling systems to the carbon impact of endless training runs, this is the real cost of AI. And those costs don't stay in the boardroom. They trickle down through the tools we pay for, the products we buy, and even the communities where these systems are built. I've seen in other industries what happens when we ignore the long-term cost in favor of short-term wins. It's expensive to fix after the fact. But I've also seen what happens when innovation meets efficiency and when sustainability becomes part of the design, not an afterthought. That's when you get technology that lasts. The winner of this arms race might not be the companies with the biggest models or the flashiest demos. They'll be the ones who can keep delivering results without burning through their budgets or the planet. So next time you hear about a massive AI breakthrough, remember, someone's paying for all that compute. And in one way or another, it might be you.
Tech It For Me is an independent and solo-produced podcast.